This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Guys, Josh Kendall writes for The Athletic. He covers our Atlanta Falcons on a daily basis. Friend of the show, and Josh, it's good to have you back on. I want to start with what Mike and I have been talking about at least this last, you know, hour, and that is the situation with the prank call from Jeff Olbrich's son, and the Falcons handling that situation. It's something that we did not expect to be talking about. We'll get to the draft stuff, but how do you feel about how that was handled? And the Falcons obviously are ready to move on and turn the page. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, boy. You know, I don't know that I have any strong thoughts. It sucks all the way around. I don't know. I hate to get into it. It was a dumb thing to do. The kids apologized. I'm a little more concerned as to, you know, how easily the kid seems to have gotten the number.
Okay.
Sounds like the Falcons are going to address that through, you know, I don't know, training, no punishment, no real consequences. It's not the end of the world. We all do stupid things, especially when we're young. The whole thing sucks. It's just ugly. Right. I don't think we have to make it a federal case, but it's an embarrassment for everybody involved. The team, the coach, and the kids.
Yeah, we were saying earlier, Josh, I don't know. I've seen some talking heads and some folks on social media. I don't know what you expect them to do. I mean, it's a prank call. It's embarrassing. I mean, if anything, it turns things around maybe in the court of public opinion for Shador Sanders, from people having such glee to now maybe feeling a little more empathy for him and his draft weekend. Either way, let's talk about football. The picks. I think this draft is going to certainly, however going to grade it, I don't believe in grading him now, but it's going to be all about what does James Pierce Jr. bring to this football team and how quickly does he do it?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the draft grades. We all do, including me, do a lot of analysis on the draft grades. The great thing about these things is we'll know pretty soon. Now, it's not fair to judge a guy's career by his rookie year, but you kind of know, especially with first-round picks, if you made the right call, you know pretty early. We don't have to wait until 2027. You know, we should know by October if they got what they think they got and what they've convinced, you know, what they've told us they've got. Especially with a pass rusher, especially with guys who play a position where it's not quarterback. It's not, you don't have to learn a ton. You know, Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. especially, were drafted to go get the quarterback. We should know whether or not they can do that pretty quickly, because if they can do it at all, they will stand out on this team like a sore thumb.
So it's interesting because it gets us back to last year's class, right? Rook, who we saw play a little, Braylon Trice, Brandon Dorlus. Josh, what do we know about these guys, and how do they play into this equation? Because it feels like, you know, if you really want to be honest, some of these guys that didn't play, are we getting like a, you know, we really had like 7 or 8 picks because these guys didn't play a whole lot at all, if at all, last year. But we don't know what they're going to bring.
I think that the Falcons not drafting a defensive tackle tells us that either A, they truly believe these guys are the answer, or B, they're too stubborn to admit that those were not the right picks. Again, we're going to know pretty soon. They sent Grady Jarrett, they let Grady Jarrett walk out the door. Eddie Goldman is gone. They have opened up snaps for defensive tackles to play, and they did not draft any. Now, I like Taquan Graham more than most people. Mm-hmm. That's the impression I get. I think that he's maybe a little underappreciated. I think he can play significant snaps for this team, quality snaps for this team. I'm not sure he's the guy who's going to be your bell cow, but I think he fits into that equation somewhere. But if Ruka Roro and Brandon Dorlus don't take a significant step forward and can't play a lot of quality snaps for you,
right.
I think that tells us that the Falcons have made two mistakes. They made mistakes when they drafted them, and they made mistakes when they wouldn't admit the first mistake and didn't back them up, because they had the potential to take a couple of difference-making, defensive, you know, one of these right. Walker or Pierce picks could have been a difference-making interior player, because those dudes were around in this draft.
That's a good point. There was a couple of dudes, matter of fact. And actually, a couple of DTs in the second round that certainly, if we again, had hindsight, if you stand pat at 46. Again, talking with Josh Kendall, guys from The Athletic, covers the Falcons every day. By the way, you put any stock, or should we just stop talking about a Jalen Ramsey trade? Because they'd have to obviously clear some cap space to do that. And do you only reason that's getting some juice, Josh, I guess, is because of the relationship between Jalen Ramsey and Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I don't see that being... You would have to really work to clear that type of space at this point. But when you're talking about a Jalen Ramsey level salary, they did draft two defensive backs, one of whom can play corner, or excuse me, one of whom they think can, in Billy Bowman, who can play nickel, which frees up Clark Phillips, Mike Hughes, et cetera, to play more snaps. I don't foresee a Jalen Ramsey reunion.
Do you think with the Pierce pick it was a reach? How do you feel about the process in which we went about going back into the first round? Look, Josh, I feel like this kid would have been there. We'll never know. But they had conviction to go get Michael Penix last year, and they did it. And obviously they had conviction on getting James Pierce. How did you feel about the process of going about that?
I don't love the process. I don't think any of us are smarter than the math. I think the math pretty clearly states, no matter which chart you look at, and then the Falcons are looking at their own internal charts, but no matter which chart, you know, publicly available charts you look at, the point value was pretty weighted against the Falcons. My overarching opinion of the draft is teams get in trouble when they fall in love with guys, when they think that their evaluation is the most important thing, is more important than extra bites, than taking as many bites of the apple as you can get.
Right.
So, you know, that for me is the better process. For me, the better process is erring toward giving yourself more chances to make to pick the right guy than thinking you know for sure who the right guy is. That's not Falcons specific. That's league-wide.
Right. No, they fall in love with guys. I mean, we talk so much about, you know, Troy Anderson can't stay on the field, and Nick Benito was a dude that's been just a sack machine for the Broncos. It was taking just a few picks after, but they seem to like the combine darling. Talking with Josh Kendall, guys, about the Falcons, I am intrigued by some of the undrafted free agents. Now, I know sometimes it's a long shot, Josh, but Kobe Bryant, C-O-B-E-E, is a guy that it was surprising that he didn't get drafted out of Kansas as a corner. And then you've got Nick Nash, who basically led every single category for wide receiver. So we get the plucky white wide receiver out of San Jose State. Any of these guys of the undrafted, you feel have a chance to make the roster?
I'm rooting for Nate Nash because I think he's my age. But I think that both of those guys are intriguing picks. You always see some undrafted free agents around the league who pop. Again, this goes back to my process theory. My process is I like, you know, volume of guys and getting your hands on guys and getting them in a pro camp, getting as many guys in a pro camp as you can and seeing who works. So, I think Kobe Bryant and Nick Nash are intriguing. I think the tight end from South Carolina, Joshua Simon, is really intriguing, too.
How do you feel about the safeties? Obviously, they didn't go corner. So, you know, they go and again, we know you said Bowman's going to be nickel. But, Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame in the third round. And in the fourth round, you go get Billy Bowman out of OU. Tell me what you think about that statement by the Falcons and not drafting a corner in this draft.
I think they like Mike Hughes, and I like Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes, for me, falls in the TQ Graham bucket. I think I like Mike Hughes better than a lot of Falcons fans like Mike Hughes. I think he's fine. I think if you can figure out a quality nickel rotation with Clark Phillips and Billy Bowman, and you start Jordan Fuller at safety with an eye on – sorry, there's an ambulance coming by, guys. I was trying to get into a quiet spot. with the eye on getting Xavier Watts to eventually take over that job, I see the plan. So I'm not saying it's going to work, but I see the plan, and I would sign off on that plan.
Right. And, of course, the seventh rounder is almost like a glorified undrafted free agent. But you get a big body from Wisconsin and Jack Nelson. I mean, he looks like a guy that played offensive line for Wisconsin. As Carl said earlier, a lot of experience, too.
Yeah, this is like a college recruiting class for me. I don't think you should ever go a year without taking a lineman, you know, without getting some linemen, getting a look at guys, seeing if you can hit a lottery ticket there and develop a guy into a starter. So I'm always going to like an offensive defensive line pick in that spot.
Right. And Josh, I mean, it's kind of, we did the whole interview. We didn't really talk about the number one guy. And obviously Jalen Walker just checks so many boxes. The question that people outside of Flower Branch are going, how does he play? Where do they play him? They're going to figure this one out, aren't they?
Yeah, and they said they've been pretty definitive on that. They're going to start him in edge. They're going to let him try to be an edge rusher. And I like that. He is undersized. I get those concerns, but I like playing him at edge and letting him get to the quarterback, because I'm not sure. I think he fits better there than an inside linebacker or safety or sort of that big nickel where he played at Georgia. I think he's got juice. I think he's, you know, got the right makeup, as they say. And I think he can I'm optimistic that he can be a good quarterback. He can be a good pass rusher.
Great stuff. Josh Kendall, man, appreciate you stopping by. It's been a fun weekend and intriguing, to say the least. We'll see you soon, man, when it comes to being up there at Flyer Branch. Thanks again, Josh.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.